I just want to share some thoughts with you. As I've said every time that I get the opportunity to speak with you, things that God speaks to me, and I just happen to be here talking out loud, and you get to listen. My prayer is that God would speak to you in the same way that he speaks to me through his word. And it really is not my opinion that matters. It's only the word of God that matters. It's the only thing that's, whenever I take my last breath, all my opinions and all my beliefs and all that will pass away with me, right? But God's word is eternal. It's been here from long before we got here. It'll be here long after we're gone. So that's where I try to get my guidance from, is God's word. So I'll read the passage of scripture here, one of the parables that Jesus taught the disciples and us. Starting, it's in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower of the seed. Starting in verse 1, and it says, "On that day Jesus had gone out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up immediately, because they had no depth of soil. But after the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. But others fell on good soil, and they yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times as much. The one who has ears, let him hear.'" So then, later on in this chapter, starting in verse 28, Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the parable. Because the disciples asked him, "Why do you teach in parables?" And he would say, "Because it's only given to some to understand what's being said. But so you will understand, I'm going to tell you what this means." And he goes on to explain that the seed on the wayside are those that hear the word of God but do not understand it, so the devil comes and takes it away. It just is a hardened heart, it's a hardened soil. The seed can't possibly take root and grow. It's just not. The birds just come and eat it. The devil just comes and steals the truth of God's word away from them. The seed on the rocky places are those that hear the word of God but do not allow it to go deep into them. They spring up with excitement at first, but as soon as they face opposition to it or find something within it that they don't like, they fall away from it. Right? Well, that sounds great. That's awesome. I love that. You know, and then all of a sudden something tests their loyalty to that word or to that teaching, right? Or difficulties in life will cause them to question the truth of God's word. So it just immediately just withers away and they just walk away from it. Then there's a seed among the thorns, and it's those that hear the word of God, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and wealth, choke it out so that it no longer has any bearing on their life. Like, this is someone who professes to be a follower of Jesus, reads the Bible, goes to church, does the religious checklist, you know, checks off all the religious things that is expected of a believer. But day in and day out in their life, they're more concerned with the issues of life and what the world has to offer and achieving what the world has to offer than they are about fulfilling the call of God on their life and being Christ to those around them and the world around them. And eventually, the cares of the world get so much so that they're Christian in name only. Right? If you were to look at them, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them and the world. And we see a lot of that in our society, in our Western society, right? People are be like, "Well, I'm a Christian, see?" And they'll hold out like their cross necklace, you know? Or, "I'm a Christian, see? I got a Jesus shirt on," or whatever it might be, you know. They have the outward appearance, but it doesn't go deep. And then there's the seed on the fertile ground, those that hear the word of God and receive it fully. those that apply it to their lives in obedience by faith and begin to produce good fruit, 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. From this parable, we see that both the type of seed sown and the type of ground it is sown in are both important. I want to talk about the seed for a minute. So, today you basically have two kinds of seed, right? You have the GMO seed, the genetically modified seed that man thought that they could just take and like do a little dissecting and splicing and all these things and improve upon God's creation, right? GMO seeds are the seeds that have been altered from their original state in an attempt to get them to become more resistant to pests and other things and disease. GMO seeds produce fruits and vegetables that have the very appearance of being exactly what you expected to grow out of the ground. Oftentimes, they look way better than the original, like God's original. I mean, they're all nice and shiny. There's no defects in it. Everything just looks wonderful. But the truth about GMO seeds is that they've been genetically modified so much that although they have the appearance of being what it is you expect it to be, and oftentimes looking better, they lack the nutrient value that an actual original fruit or vegetable is supposed to have, right? And you can't even use it the next year. They're one off. You got to buy those seeds again the next year. You can't harvest the seeds from a genetically modified fruit or vegetable and use it the next year. Spiritually speaking, GMO seeds are found in the form of worldly wisdom, pride, selfishness, self-seeking behavior, seeker-sensitive, candy-coated preaching that offers you cheap grace. They present themselves as having everything together. They know when to say amen at the right time. They have all the right words to say when important people are around so that they can win their approval and convince them that they have it all together. Yet when things get tough or those important people are no longer around and it doesn't benefit them to keep up an appearance, they resort back to their old way of living. It's just cheap, fake, phony veneer. Outward appearance, but there's no real nutritional value. Heirloom seeds, on the other hand, are those that were from the very beginning. When God spoke it into existence, those seeds are the original from the creation, created by God himself for their original purpose. Heirloom seeds produce the real deal. They may not always look polished up, right? You might get some goofy looking carrots or tomatoes in your plants, in your harvest, like, well, man, just goofy, like, you know, weird looking things, but it's not the appearance that matters. It's what's inside that matters, right? Heirloom seeds have the very best nutrients that the body needs to stay healthy. You know, the fruit that they produce. Heirloom seeds can be harvested after every crop and can be used over and over again. They can be shared with other people and you don't have to pay for them, right? You don't have to go to Monsanto and say, hey, I need some more seeds for this year. You know, don't get me started on Monsanto. But anyway, you can pass it on from one person to the next, from generation to generation. It's going to continue to produce healthy, nutritious food. And you don't have to pay for it. Spiritually speaking, heirloom seeds are found in the form of wisdom from God that is found in his word, in prayer, in meditation, in obedience to God and his calling on your life. Daily application of the word, selfless living, serving other people, humility, gratitude, demonstration of the fruits of the Spirit, loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Someone that is fully committed to following the Lord, no matter what anyone else might say or do to them, they are willing to lay aside all pursuit of praise and recognition for the cause of making Christ known to those around them. They're the real deal. And then the ground. I want to talk a little bit about the ground. Jesus explained to us the importance of the ground and receiving the seeds. Before a seed can be planted, and the ground must be prepared. Now, I'm not a farmer, but there's some farmers in here. My father-in-law is one. So they know this to be true. You have to prepare the ground. Alpha's got a big old mountain of island of rocks in the middle of his hay field. I bet you that wasn't easy, moving those rocks. But you gotta pick the rocks out. The ground needs to be tilled and turned over. It may need to have fertilizer added to it. Mark's back there. He knows all about this stuff. Modern machinery has made it easier, but can you imagine what this would have been like in Jesus' day when he was given this example? Like, for them to break up the ground and make it able to produce fruit? Man, I can't even imagine how hard that would have been. This was backbreaking work that took commitment and determination to see a crop through to the harvest, as many lives depended upon it being successful. Most of us are unaware that God has been doing a lot of this hard work for us through the years when he allowed certain things to take place in our lives that maybe we don't understand why it was happening. God was using circumstances and things in our lives to break up the ground of our heart so that he could plant the seed in our heart and it would grow and produce good fruit. So too it is concerning the preparation of your soil, your heart, to receive the seed, the word of God, so that it can take root and grow to a harvest that will produce fruit 160 and 30 times. That work has to be done, and we have to allow it to be done, that the stony ground of our heart is tilled up and turned over and fertilized, so that when we hear God's word, it will take root and then begin to produce fruit. And so I want to speak about the fruit. And so I have some questions like, why does it matter what kind of fruit we produce, or that we produce any fruit at all? Why does a tree or plant bear fruit? Is it for its own benefit? Have you ever witnessed an apple tree consuming its own fruit? Or a grapevine taking a little snack off the vine? No. Absolutely not. A fruit tree or a vine or any food-producing plant produces its fruit for the benefit of others. Those who would come and consume it would be given life-saving and life-sustaining nutrition. And the Bible tells us that freely we have received and freely we must give. We have been called to produce fruit so that others who are in need can come and eat from the fruit that we produce. And when they eat from the fruit that we produce, they'll be eating something that is life-giving, life-transforming. When they walk away from us, it's my prayer, and, you know, it's that they have benefited from their interaction with us because they have eaten from the fruit that is grown from the seed that comes from God alone. It matters what type of seed and ground we are using to produce this fruit. We need to be using the genuine heirloom seeds of wisdom that are only found in the Word of God, that have not been genetically modified to become more appealing to the eye in appearance or in quantity. The world has got enough of this seeker-sensitive, candy-coated gospel garbage. If the Word of God being presented to you is not challenging you, but at the same time uplifting you and encouraging you to live a life completely separate from what the world's standards and belief systems, and encouraging you and giving you the strength and the courage to stand alone, even if you have to stand by yourself for the cause of Christ, to stand firm in your faith and your belief and not compromise your faith and your integrity, then that message that you're receiving is just it's a knockoff. It's a GMO. It has the appearance on the outside of being the real deal, but it has no sustaining, life-sustaining truth to it. It will fail in the end. We need the truth, the true meat of God's word. We need to be challenged and encouraged with the word of God to be that who he's called us to be, right? To deny ourselves and to give of ourselves to help other people. We all know how important this is in the realm of nutrition and how we feed our physical bodies, right? To have the right foods. You're not going to be too healthy if you're sitting around eating Twinkies and Swiss cake rolls all the time, even though they're delicious. you know, you're going to have some health problems, you know. It is even more important spiritually on how we feed our soul because it has eternal consequences, not only for ourselves, but for everyone who would feed off the fruit that we produce. I want to talk a little bit about things that affect our ability to receive the true word of God, the heirloom seed, if you will, the real deal, so that we can actually produce good fruit. In our world, there's a very strong effort at play to dull our senses. Some of you probably heard the saying, the greatest lie they ever the devil ever told was convincing the world that he didn't exist, right? Which is pretty accurate, you know. Most people, if you ask them, don't really believe. And that's a lot of professing Bible-believing Christians, that there is no such place as hell and there's no such thing as the devil and all of these things. But in verses 10 through 17, Jesus explains to the disciples why he teaches people in parables. And Jesus explains to them that it's because some people see with their eyes but do not perceive what is happening. They hear with their ears but do not comprehend, understand what is being said. And it's fulfilling the prophecy that is found in Isaiah, which says, "You shall keep on listening but shall not understand. You shall keep on looking but shall not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." There's a very powerful effort to dull our senses so we do not hear what God is saying or perceive what God is doing around us. Right? It's very easy to get into this mindset where we just day in and day out, we do the things that we do every single day, day in and day out. And it's just like, God is like a maybe just an afterthought half the time. You know, I get up, I go to work, I get home from work, I eat dinner, I sit down and I watch TV. Or whatever the routine might look like, right? With no ability to actually be aware of how God might be moving around us and being open and available to being used by God. I have to constantly be telling myself, all right, stop. Look around. What is God doing? What is he saying? Is there someone he wants you to talk to? Is there someone he wants you to do something for? You know, because I'm very good at just tunnel vision, putting the blinders on. I didn't see nothing. I'm just focused on what I want to do, right? And I really have to constantly ask God to, like, open my eyes and take the blinders off so that I can see what he's doing and perceive and hear what's going on around me. Because everything in the world wants to get us to not be listening and looking for where God's moving, right? They just want us to, it's just a distraction, it's a shell game, you know? Don't look over here. You don't want to see what God's doing over there. Don't worry about that. You just live in your nice, comfy little world and do your thing. Don't worry about all the other stuff. It's important to avoid those things that would dull our senses to the things that God is trying to show us and tell us. Worldly and ungodly entertainment through music, movies, and TV are some primary ways that our senses are dulled. Our sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of God, can be drowned out because we just spend our time being inundated with the world's message of this or that, putting the things of the world before the things of God, immoral talk and immoral living. The whole idea of faking it until you make it is a lie rooted in deception. When I worked at Teen Challenge, that was something a lot of people said. Oh, you just got to fake it until you make it. What? No, Jesus doesn't operate in deception and lies. Fake it till you make it. That's ridiculous. Just, you know what? Go along to get along. You know, just when I'm in this group of people, I know the right Christianese language, the right Christianese words, but then when I'm around this group of people, I'm going to be a whole different person, right? Paul confronted Peter and rebuked him openly in front of people because he was like that. The world just wants us to conform and not rock the boat and make them feel uncomfortable in their deceitfulness and their sin and their rebellion. But God's called us to stand out. He's called us to stand up, stand firm, and when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. And sit and watch God do his thing. It's amazing when we get to see God do his thing, right? I just want to say this, though. We talked about ground, we talked about seed, we talked about fruit. Inevitably, a plant might get injured, right? Or through the passage of time, a branch of that tree might stop producing fruit. It might get diseased. But that doesn't mean that you cut down and uproot the entire plant, right? A gardener or a vine dresser would come and they would prune. And the Bible talks about Jesus being the vine dresser, pruning us to get rid of the things that are dead weight, the things that have started to maybe we've had this offshoot or this branch of bitterness start to take root in us. And it's producing bad fruit, or it has the potential to corrupt the entire plant down to the root. God wants to come in and he wants us to allow him to cut that out and deal with that so that we can continue to grow and produce fruit. It says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, it says, "A bruised reed," and speaking about Jesus, "a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." We might get a little weak at times. We might get a little fleshly at times. We might start to lack in producing godly fruit at times. And as my prayer on a pretty continual basis to pray Psalm 139, 23 through 24, I'll read it to you here because I don't know if you're like me, but I need God to do this for me on a regular basis. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting." We have to ask God to come and do that work. Not just cruise through life and expect and just think everything is perfect and good and grace, grace, grace. We can't cheapen the grace of God by allowing ourselves to continue on and not deal with the things that need to be dealt with, even as scary and as uncomfortable as it might be. God wants us to have us produce fruit and be a blessing to countless numbers of people, 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. We have to be careful about making sure that our heart doesn't get hardened, that we continue to till up our heart and keep it open, fertilized, ready to receive the truth of God's word so that we can produce fruit. And not dull our senses with the world's system and the world's beliefs and the world's way of thinking and doing things. I don't know about you, but I always want to be able to hear the voice of God speak to me. Every day I just... just want to hear God say, "Tell me what to do. Direct my path." My flesh gets in the way a lot of times. But it's the best thing in the world for me when I hear God clearly say, "Go do this. Go say that to this person. Go do this. Go give this person that thing," or whatever it is. And you get to see the impact that it has. So my encouragement to myself and to you, because you happen to be sitting here listening to me, again, is to continue to till up the ground of your heart, keep a fertile heart, a fleshly heart, open to receive the word of God, and to act upon it with obedience, so that you can start to produce fruit that has eternal benefits. And if you find yourself in a place where you haven't heard God speak to you in a while, or you feel like the heavens are brass ceiling, or whatever terminology you want to use, and it feels like your prayers go nowhere, I would encourage you to pray Psalm 139, 23 through 24. More often than not, there's something in our heart that's keeping us from hearing God's voice. Right? And we've convinced ourselves. I don't know if any of you are like me, but I'm pretty good at convincing myself that I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And deceiving myself. Right? So I always need to ask God to reveal to me where I've deceived myself. So that I don't... Like I said, good fruit has a benefit for people. Right? But bad fruit can impact people too, right? You eat a rotten apple and a worm comes crawling out, that might make you feel a little sick, right? So if we're producing bad fruit, that's going to impact people too. So my prayer is that God would continue to remind us that we have to till the ground of our heart, so we can be prepared to receive God's word, the seed, and produce fruit that has eternal value. Because we didn't get saved for ourselves, right? When God pulled me out of the pit of hell that I was in, he didn't pull me out of it for myself. He pulled me out of it because he knew that the testimony that he would give me would be a blessing to other people. And the same is true for all of you, right? The purpose of the church, do you all know what the purpose of the church is? Yeah. Well, there's five offices in the church, right? And those five offices are given by God for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The church is to equip those people who come there to fulfill their part of the ministry. You all have a part in the ministry of Jesus Christ in this world. And I pray that God, that you're fulfilling it. And me too. But if you're not being built up and being built up in your giftings and your talents that God has given you to go out and to change the world and to affect the world through the ministry of the gospel of reconciliation, that's got to change. You all have giftings that God wants to use to bless this world. And I just pray that every one of us is able to use those things and see the results of it. I have to say this, that even though I'm going to tell myself, because I'm usually an open book, even though my father-in-law and I have butted heads, the man is someone who'd give his shirt off his back to anyone in need. That's his gifting. He gives and gives and gives. So, go forward, believe in God for the impossible. Keep your heart open to receive the word of God, to produce fruit, to be a blessing to everyone around you, even complete strangers. You all have something to offer, right? Amen. Thank you.